Are you a controller? Sure you are. This is Al Turtle, and this is my article on controlling. Probably about 70% of the couples I see have controlling as a problem. Now, what is it? How does it work? What can you do about it? In this article, I'll try to answer those questions and share with you the solutions that I found. Let's start with the definition. A controller is a person whose nervous system has been altered in childhood in such a way that they get nervous, upset, panicking, twitchy when things are out of place, when the wrong word is used, when the dish is not in the right place in the cupboard. And this person spends much of their time just trying to relax. When something goes out of place, their nervous system kicks off. They have difficulty dealing with the normal chaos of life, and they are just trying to calm down. As far as I know, everyone is a controller to some extent, some more, some less, and I never blame controllers. When a couple comes into the office for a first visit, I will often test for this issue. If they mention anything like doing it right or wrong, about things are out of place, anything about cleanliness, then I want to know how strong this problem is. What I do is I slide some books off my bookcase onto the floor. I make a mess, and then I watch their blood pressures. Usually this is pretty easy to see. I then ask the one I am talking to, who do you think this would bother more, you or your partner? Having watched them, I already know who it bothers and who it bothers more. A sudden jump in blood pressure is pretty visible. Then I get the answers from both of them. Sometimes a person whose blood pressure soared will say that it doesn't bother him at all. Then I gather that not only do they have a challenge of control, but they also have the challenge of not telling the truth. What I've learned is that controllers are trained starting around age 3. At this age, a child will typically try to talk with their caretakers about how they see things uniquely differently. If the caretakers are curious and good at listening, ideally if they mirror their child, then the child's brain begins developing rapidly, and eventually this contributes to a firm sense of self. On the other hand, if the caretakers criticize, judge, contradict, or ignore, then the child shifts from developing its sense of self and begins a never-ending search for being right. The stronger this critical teaching, the more a controller they become. Simply put, critical, controlling parents produce critical, controlling children who grow up and eventually find a partner. Is being a controller good or bad? That's a good question. A controller is bothered by things out of order or things out of place, the wrong word, the wrong spelling, the wrong pronunciation. But this is not necessarily a problem. Copy editors, quality control inspectors, accountants, auditors, brain surgeons, and many other professions are places where people are paid for noticing things out of place. The training of a controller, the reactions of a controller, are helpful. However, controlling can be a serious problem. After all, their nervous system reacts without their wishing it to. Controlling can be a pain in the neck for the person who has it. The stronger they were trained in childhood, the stronger the effect. The bigger the mess, the worse it is. If the individual lives alone, controlling can usually be managed, as the person just neatens things up and keeps them that way. But if they live with someone, this can get to be a big problem, especially as the other person typically makes creative messes. I used to test for this by asking whether you like cats or not. A cat is chronically disobedient and chronically does what it wants, and controllers will be extremely challenged by a cat. Typically, a controller marries another controller. This usually generates a great problem. Who determines what is the correct definition of right or neat? What do you do about what I call rebellion, the purposeful, sometimes unconscious, tendency to make a mess or to do the wrong thing? Rules. Sandra and I identified the elements of what a controller is focusing upon, and we call them rules. Now, a rule is a way of doing something or a place for something. When a rule is followed, a controller relaxes. Here's some examples. A kitchen cupboard door should be shut. People should not drive faster than the speed limit. Computers should be carefully shut down when not in use. Smile when you shake someone's hand. Sit straight at the table. Turn off the water while you brush your teeth. At night, lights should be turned off in rooms when you leave. Do not drive through deep water puddles. People should say please when asking for something, etc. I think you get the idea. This list can go on forever and ever. Rules are specific to each controller. Each controller has learned and continues to learn a set of rules. What sounds like this is the way things should be is really, if things are this way, I will relax. Everyone seems to have some rules. Some people seem to have a great many. The part of a person that gets tense, the lizard, doesn't seem to notice who is breaking the rule, just that someone is. I think this is pretty important. Whether you break the rule or someone else breaks the rules, it will still tense your nervous system. So here's an example. I recall once listening to my wife being critical about North Idaho drivers, and I noticed my stomach muscles tensing. And I said, you know, I'm anticipating that she might criticize me. Now, actually, she didn't. But later that day, I found myself criticizing someone else, and I noticed that my same stomach muscles were tensing. Criticism made me nervous whether I did it or she did it. My rule was, don't be critical. One day, Sandra and I sat down, and we actually compared our rules. I thought of as many of my rules as I could think of. Sandra suggested a few more that she thought that I had. Then she listed her rules, and I added to her list, and then we compared lists. Here's what we found. Two people's rules are in no way the same. There is no way that I would have all the same rules that she would have. I was raised differently. There may be commonly held rules, but the details of these rules will be quite different. This is a problem with the idea of common sense, which is the idea that there's a common set of rules. To me, the word refers to rules that many people seem to share. The problem is that I think my common sense rules are the same as your common sense rules, and they aren't. This is another place where getting used to differences really helps, as so many people imagine that everyone has the same set of rules. Rules produce rebels. When I was a kid, my mother had many rules. Along the way, I learned to assert my difference, my independence from her, my uniqueness, by developing some, what she would call rebelling habits. A rebelling habit is a tendency to do something against someone else's rule. While the function of rebellion was probably originally to assert uniqueness, the current result of the rebellion is typically to produce stress in the rule holder and in the relationship. Rebels often show their stripes in what is called passive-aggressive behavior. For example, almost all lateness is a hidden form of rebellion. You will often marry someone who rebels against your rules. The idea is that one of the things that makes for a committed partnership is a tendency for one person to rebel in the area where the other person has rules, and vice versa. For example, Sandra has a rule about keeping kitchen cabinet doors closed, and I habitually leave kitchen cabinet doors open. My rebellion directly conflicts with her rule. I fear driving through deep water puddles, as the water may get into the engine and stall the car. Sandra loves driving through deep water puddles. The deeper, the better. Rules are learned. Where do these rules come from? They seem to be learned at the feet of your parents or other teachers who tell and show you their rules. They often act to children as if their rules are the right ones. Having looked at a lot of people's rules, here are some thoughts. For the most part, people don't examine the rules they have, and most commonly, children follow other people's rules without deciding whether they like them or not. Self-rules are the rules I have chosen to live by. Other rules are the rules other people gave me, and I have not even considered whether I would choose these rules for myself. Since breaking rules makes a person tense, and following a rule relaxes them, people will tend to follow whatever rules they have at a given time, self-rules or other rules. Most very active controllers are working so hard to follow the rules they have that they have never stopped to consider what rules they like and what they want to get rid of. Controllers are generally not very happy people. The more powerful this drive has been trained into a person, the more often their nervous system becomes active. Adrenaline is not a particularly pleasant drug. Being tense isn't fun. When a controller is alone, still they are seeing things out of place. Most controllers make themselves very tense almost all the time. When others are around, the whole effect gets multiplied. A controller can easily overload with too much stress. The verbal form of controlling is called criticism. When a controller notes something out of place, they often speak out loud. That chair is out of place. That's not the right word. Your hair needs cutting. I've learned that inside the mind of a controller, such observations of things out of order are almost constant. Only a small portion of them are spoken out loud. They're the ones we hear. These comments often sound like criticisms or judgments or even orders. I don't think that is what they really are. I think they are just the normal rambling of a controller mind, noticing things out of place. So what do you do about this? Well, if you are a controller, and we all are to some extent, I suggest you learn about your rules and re-examine them. Some rules you may find are really valuable. Don't put your fingers in a light socket when it's turned on. Drive to the right in the United States. Other rules may seem silly or useless, such as no singing at the dining room table. Talk your rules over with your partner to get a firm sense that your rules are yours and not necessarily theirs. If you tend to push others to follow your rules, this is normal. It is probably just an attempt to gain a sense of peace of mind. However, it does not work, and you might want to learn to stop it. Not only do people resist you, but they learn to avoid and dislike you. I suggest you read the article on short tempers and learn about master-slave and how to be a friend. Learn to note when you get overloaded with too many rules being broken. This is about you and your training and not about other people. Take care of yourself by having a clean, quiet place to go to in order to refresh yourself whenever you need it. If you are the partner of a controller, and we all are to some extent, I suggest you learn to mirror your partner's critical sounding statements. This protects you from the sound of an order and lets your partner know what they sound like. So you think the chair should be over there. Did I get that? What do you want to do about it? Learn how much distress and chaos is your partner's lot in life. Help them. Don't obey them. Help them build a place of peace. Learn to validate and learn about safety. I know one guy who counts his wife's critical comments. If there are more than three in a minute, he shifts to helping her feel calmer. He assumes she's pretty stressed. Hey, hon, what can I do to help you feel safer or more at peace? He has learned that when his wife gets distressed, he can always help by offering to clean house with her. Getting the house clean isn't as important as just his expressing willingness to help. There are three really big problems that face controllers and their partners. Big problem number one, managing tension and safety. I believe controllers and their partners, and which is which can sometimes be confusing, must become experts at dealing with anxiety, tension, and panic. Since their training makes any chaos erupt in the flow of adrenaline and all of its consequences in the body, stress is something these people will be living with. I've learned that a controller can become stressed out just by driving past someone else's front yard that is messy. Thus, all the tactics of stress reduction become vital. I think it is very important to be familiar with your own level of stress and also easily able to read your partner's level of stress. This is all the material of the paper I wrote on safety and the lizard. If you have to, take courses in stress management. I think you have no choice. Both of you learn to take timeouts when either you feel overloaded with stress or you think your partner is overloaded with stress. Big problem number two, falling out of dialogue. Since the challenge facing controllers is physical, that is, a trained reaction of their nervous systems, I found that they can easily think that others have the same reactions to the same things. This tendency to think that others are just like us is sometimes called emotional symbiosis and is the opposite of being dialogical. It is extremely important that a controller learn and that their partner remind them that other people are different and have different rules and different reactions. As a part of this retraining, I want the partner to mirror the controller, validate them, and speak of their own difference. I think you need to do this over and over until it gets in. An example, the controller says, "Aren't roller coasters scary?" And the partner responds, "I hear that roller coasters scare you. I actually enjoy going on a roller coaster. Isn't it fun to be so different? I certainly wouldn't try to get you on one, but can you wait while I take a ride?" A controller says, "This is the way to do this." Partner responds, "I hear you like to do it that way. I prefer to do it this other way. We're just different." Big problem number three, the dangers of obedience and bullying. Now, I think this is the biggest problem. While a controller is simply trying to relax, they often try to get other people to cooperate and help. This can easily take the form of persuasion, manipulation, coercion, and outright bullying. This polarizes the couple into winners and losers, or into contestants who are arguing with each other. This is an extremely dangerous situation for both. Truth to tell, I do not know who is more responsible for this horrible but common solution, the one who bullies or the one who gives in. Either way, resentment grows in both members of the relationship. My suggestion is that neither partner ever accept obedience. If you were the controller, don't accept it when your partner says, "Yes, dear," and looks submissive. Change this. Dialogue about it. If you are the partner of a controller, there is nothing wrong with doing what your partner wants because A, it will help calm them down, and B, you are feeling generous. Never do it if you feel you have to. Read my master-slave paper for all the details and read it many times to each other. Don't let this happen. Determine to move to friend-friend and stay there. And finally, learn to love controllers. As I've said before, controllers are people who go into distress when they see disorder. Thus, they do it a lot in this world. They cannot help it. It was taught to them in childhood and is part of who they are now. They can deal with it, and you can deal with it. Since we are all controllers to some extent, I think it best to learn to lovingly understand yourself and your partner. I remember the Rumpole mystery series where the hero called his wife, "She who must be obeyed." This always sounded disrespectful to me. I met a guy who called his wife, "She who sees things out of place." This seems better. And I love that movie, As Good as It Gets, with Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt, for it seems such a wonderful, loving look at the challenges facing controllers.